You're listening to the Fast Break Podcast with Carly Tebow Dudonis and JJ Duke, an all-access pass to the Fairfield University women's basketball program only on the Stag Sports Network.
Hey everybody, welcome back to a brand new Fast Break with Coach Carly podcast as we're coming to you from the brand new Fairfield Stag Sports Network podcast studio here located inside the Walsh Athletic Center. And we've got a big one coming up today where we're going to be talking about the recent trip down to the Carolinas plus the most recent home game for Fairfield women's basketball against Staten Island. We're going to dive into the film room. We're going to preview the Big East swing that Fairfield has coming up before MAC play begins. Also, Janelle Brown joins us here in studio, and all episodes of the Fast Break with Coach Carly podcast is presented by Connecticut Basement Systems. Larry Janeski's Connecticut Basement Systems is the all things basement company. Basement waterproofing, basement finishing, foundation structural repair, humidity and mold control, and nasty crawl spaces too. Call Connecticut Basement Systems today at 866-268-9002 for all things basement-y. Carly, how are you?
I'm good. I actually have a voice for this podcast. So
yes, you do.
It feels nice to actually have a, you know, not raspy, quiet voice.
Well, we're doing this, what, 2 days after the Staten Island game, mm-hmm. So a little bit of chance to recover.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I did a doubleheader last night, so my voice is absolutely
gone.
Trading places. We love that. Nelly, thanks for stopping by and joining us. How are
thanks
you?
Thanks for having me, JJ. I'm good. Great, actually.
You're great.
Yes.
Why did you change that halfway through?
Because it's really just about your responses. Like, you can be good, but I feel great, so okay. I am great.
Well, we're going to talk about that today. I think we're going to dive into the realm of Nelly, which actually brings us to the first one that I wanted to hit. Congratulations. The mayor now reaches 1K.
Woo!
Yes, we do bring back the mayor moniker from last year, but 1,000 career point club and probably the most Nelly way of getting there, because following up her own miss, crashing the boards, making things happen down at Wake Forest, it's been a journey for you during your time here at Fairfield, where we were actually joking. We were talking about you playing at the old Alumni Hall and a little bit of a different hairstyle back mm-hmm. then, but still feisty as ever. But talk about your journey to get to where you are now, the mayor of the town of Fairfield, unofficially.
Yeah. It wasn't easy, but it's really credit to the school and to the people. A huge shout out to Paul Schlickman, our athletic director, because my freshman year wasn't easy, but him talking to me and just instilling that confidence, motivating me and then inspiring me to be a better person than I was my freshman year and try to strive to be the best person I can be. It really just helped me like continue my motivation, continue my tour of I want to earn my spot instead of actually, no, I want to take my spot rather than like just try to go and get it. But it was really just the school and his people. The resources are amazing here, and I wouldn't want to do it at any other school but here. So it was just exciting to do. When I took the shot, I saw that there was only 3 seconds on the shot clock. But I was just trying to do what's best for my team, you know, get the offensive rebound. I really wasn't worried about the 1,000 point, but it's cool to actually get it in that way, just me just out hustling.
That's always been what
Nelly
Brown.
Way.
Yeah, that's always what Nelly Brown has done, even when it was the behind closed doors mm-hmm. game, when she was hustling for loose balls. We're talking about diving into various places when you're diving off the platform. Yes, remember, everybody, we had a platform down there at the old building. But yeah, no, it was so awesome. Obviously, I was jumping up on my couch watching back at home. So we're going to recap that Carolinas trip. We will also mention, since our last episode, Carly, that we did have the Central Connecticut State home game, 82-54. There's one big stat line that comes from that one that's not on the actual page itself. It's Fairfield 2-1 when they play on my birthday. They lost to Michigan, beat Rutgers, home to Central, stop scheduling on my birthday. But no, awesome to see. And that was really, it was the bounce back game. You talked about how you wanted the group to kind of remind the community of what Fairfield women's basketball is, the style, the way that they play, because it was a rough go of it in the home opener. Job done, I think, on that night.
Yes, we wanted to get back to showing what it looked like to share the basketball, play together, play connected. We felt like we maybe underachieved there in our first home opener, and we had a great crowd. And so wanted to get back to being us as far as how we create great shots for one another, how the ball moves, how literally in almost every possession everybody touches it. And so I think we got back to that. It was nice to see the ball go in as well. And I think we're still chipping away at kind of carving out our identity on the defensive end. But proud of how we responded, certainly being at home.
Well, defense transitions nice into that first game down in the Carolinas. So you guys go down to Charleston. By the way, beautiful city. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites down in the Southeast. We will talk about some of the stuff that you guys did off the court. But slow start in that game shooting-wise. I think both teams, if my math was correct, in the first 7.5 minutes, it was a combined 4 for 26. Mm-hmm. Not what you wanted from either team. But then it became the Meg Anderson game. I mean, and it was one of those, Janelle, not easy to try and figure your way through different opponents. A team that Fairfield never plays really in any sport, another conference that we're checking off the box. But how important was that to see someone step up in that moment and knock down a couple shots just to make everyone feel comfortable?
I think Meg was just made for the moment. Mm-hmm. She's really just like that. I think that us feeding her, her just warming up, it really just got the team going, and that's what she really does. As soon as she starts making shots, that's when we know that, like, all right, that's when we're grooving, that's when we're at our pace, that's when we can move the ball, and then we just have to continue to keep finding her because she's making those shots. Why not continue to pass the ball?
And that's something that we've talked about in the past before, Carly, about how those in-game adjustments, when you do have that hot hand, you obviously still want to stay within the system of your offense. But at what point was the message starting to get across to the group, hey, we've got Meg going right now, let's just try and get her going as quickly as possible to let everybody else work their way into the game?
I think there was a combination of things that happened. I think our point guards this year have done a really nice job of understanding who the hot hand is. Izanelli and Katie have done a great job of recognizing that. I think they found her just kind of like with quick ball movement a couple different times. There's one, I think, off of an offensive rebound where she ended up kind of scooting out to the corner, and their mismatches, they had mismatches, they didn't know who they were guarding, and I think it was Iza just zung it to the corner, and she got a wide open three. And so a huge credit to our point guards in finding her. And then I think, as a coaching staff, tried to be more intentional of being able to play call and get the ball into whoever's hands we need in those moments. You know, a lot of times it's been Nelly in the past, and in that game we called a couple of just different, you know, ball screen pick and pop opportunities, a couple of low post touches. We've tried to get Meg some more intentional post touches to get some easy looks around the rim, rather than relying on having to see threes go in to get a rhythm. But I think it was a combination of things, and Meg did a great job of just being consistent and efficient.
We're going to get to the guards in a little bit because Iza had her moment just a couple of days ago. But we did see a lot of things come from that game that, from my perspective and watching, really pleased me. First off, the fact that this group was playing 2 games in 3 days, very similar to what you're going to get during the MAC season. You were able, Carly, to roll basically the entire bench, and everybody got 10-plus minutes in that game. How big was that for you to make sure that, okay, Nelly could get off her feet a little bit? Meg didn't play the entirety of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we were certainly being careful about minutes once we realized that the game was in hand, knowing we had a quick turnaround. But the other part of that is that we have a really deep bench. Yep. That's something that we've worked hard on, both our players and the coaching staff this offseason, of bringing in more that fit our team. And so we feel like we have a really deep bench, and I can go as deep as I need to. And I think that shows up when, you know, I think our Cy and Ray both banged threes. They're a handful inside. You know, Jules and Casey are always banging shots. So I think that's always been the strength of this team. And I think it's only stronger than it was last year, which is great. So part of it was, yes, let's get everybody off their legs as much as we can. But also, I trust those guys.
Yeah. Little did we know, in Charleston, they keep the banks open after 6 o'clock. So that's awesome. Love to see that. Also, another one that was a big check mark for me was just the 7 turnovers. And it's been really noted. We're going to talk about this in the film room a little bit later about how this group is being even more careful with the ball. And we spoke about this in our first episode of, you know, knowing the times, when to push, when to slow it down. You guys were even celebrating at times in preseason of, okay, we're not pushing things, let's just run the offense. Ease obviously is the main metronome, but everybody's bought into what we're trying to do here.
That's been a consistent focus since the summer. We knew, you know, at the end of last year, we had a couple of statistical categories to pinpoint, and that was one of them. And taking care of the basketball is a huge one. And so, we've had every single drill that we do in practice, there is a, you know, some type of consequence for a turnover. Usually it comes off of your total score. So you don't, if you want to win the game or win the drill, you obviously don't want to lose points off your score.
And is it points by three, by the way?
Yes, actually, yes. Yeah, you get three. You start each drill with plus three, and then you take off for turnovers from there. And so that's been a consistent focus. And obviously that's in our, you know, players' minds every single moment of those drills. We track it, we stat it, they see it constantly, and we celebrate it as well. And it's a kind of a nuanced, hard thing to do of like when you don't throw a pass that could have been there, and then it results in eventually the ball moves and Nelly gets a wide open three. But you could actually see it in that Charleston Southern game. There was two or three that Iza could have like chucked ahead and maybe might have been a home run pass, but she decided not to, and then it probably resulted in like a, you know, a Ray three or a Nelly layup or whatever it ended up being. And so that's something that we've spent a ton of time focusing on, and it's helped us because obviously our offensive numbers are coming along.
Yeah, I mean, when the team's obviously scoring at the rate they are, that means you're doing a lot of things right, especially getting the ball safely and securely into the hands of the players that are scoring, which then turns over into the Wake Forest game less than 48 hours after you guys drive up to Winston-Salem, and kind of a different type of game because it felt super competitive. It was very back and forth at times. Wake got off to a good start establishing their bigs down low, lot of touches in the paint. But then you guys started to find your way back into it, Nelly. And I think two things that were the big ones for me, their bigs getting in foul trouble, was Elise Williams and Demir Hines having to be off the court basically for the back half of the third and into the fourth a little bit. And then you guys started to get your feet into the paint and made things happen.
I really credit to Coach. She ripped into us in a huddle about just, you know, being stronger and then also attacking them more. So when it was like fourth quarter, when we saw that they were in their zone, she was like, guys, like, this is good. Like, you see why they got into their zone, because we're getting downhill more. But it was really like credit to the scout too as well, because as the game developed, we knew like what we needed to do. We knew that we needed to get to help side earlier. We needed to stop putting them on a foul line. So just walling up more and making them make those tough twos was really helpful. But then it was like our leadership from Iza, especially Lamb, you know, her just popping off. And then I also credit Amina too, because without her defensive presence and Sai, oh my goodness, I feel like we had just that rotation of players who came in when we needed them and actually performed when it was you know, coming down to the stretch. So it's just like credit to our team. We have a lot of grit and we showed a lot of toughness during that game.
I mean, this podcast has pretty much become the Cyan Co fan club podcast, but the defense was noted. I mean, so I was going through it in the first half, Wake shot 54%, held them under 40 in the second half. You guys offensively were obviously getting the touches that we've spoken about, but 38 points in the paint each. And for a team that we've discussed, the roster is built for a reason, but when you guys are hanging with 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", and doing the job just as well, that has to put a big smile on your face.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love the 38 points in the paint by them.
Fair.
So, I'll start with that, but then I'll...
A lot of it was in the first half, by the way.
Some positive things. But I thought, you know, we had gone in with a game plan to try and disrupt with some different post doubles, and I thought we were a little undisciplined in getting those done and executing those well, and they capitalized when we didn't kind of close those traps and make their lives difficult in the paint. But on the flip side, they were really paying a lot of attention to our 3-point shooters and playing outside on the perimeter and allowing us to get cuts and drives into the paint. And so that was something that we showed our team going into the game, of our ability to get ball reversal into triple penetration. We've got great personnel to do that. And so I thought Iza, Nelly, and Lammy were the catalyst. Kendall in the second half certainly had some moments where she got feet in paint as well. If they're going to stay out on our three-point shooters, you've got one-on-ones and opportunities, especially on some switches, to go by 6-2, 6-3, and go score. And so I thought that resulted in us getting our 38 points in the paint. So if teams are going to take away the threes, we can score in a lot of ways. And so I'm proud of those guys for executing in that way.
And then when you establish the paint, that opened up the deep shot. Katie knocking down a couple of big ones. Meg, that big shot in the last 3 minutes or so, really, to kind of steady
Amina
the tone.
Took us home
Amina finished the job off. I mean, that's, again, it's another team performance. And you have heard this a lot on this podcast, and you're going to keep hearing it. It's team. It's literally everybody's going to have their moment. And that had to make that flight back a very late flight back on Thanksgiving Eve flight back at least a little bit more enjoyable.
Yes, we talked about it on the bus a bunch of, like, you know, there's a couple moments in the game that I was particularly very, very mad of, a couple, you know, blown transition defense coverages and double coverages, and I'm like, we're sitting here stewing over those right now if we don't win that game, which, you know, you still think about it, but it doesn't hurt quite as bad. And then, you know, it's 9:30 p.m. in the airport and you can sit there and kind of laugh about it a little bit. Like, okay, we got to learn from it, but it's a little bit more enjoyable for sure.
Most definitely. Let's talk about the trip as a whole, though, Nelly. So you guys go down to Charleston. I think it was on the Sunday, the day before.
We went Sunday, yes.
Sunday. So what'd you guys do in the exploring times? A little different than axe throwing that you guys did down at Oklahoma State.
We didn't really do much. I actually, like, enjoyed the axe throwing. And then we went out to dinner. It was actually cute. We saw a little Frenchie dog, but we had giggles after that. But it was really fun just to, like, connect as a team, knowing that our practice players were there, too.
Oh, that's
awesome.
We're
all just building connections and talking about, okay, what's your favorite food here? Why do you eat that? Like, why wasn't the pork belly good? Like, just trying to create conversation, but also, like...
Someone refused pork belly down in...
Julia Carpel. Julia Carpel. She's like, ugh, I don't like this. I was like, Jules, you're literally eating a massive tater tot that's really just like a deep fried mashed potato.
It was a deep fried mashed potato.
You can't judge with the pork belly. You should have known what you was getting into with the pork belly.
In the Carolinas, there's just a few rules in life, and barbecue really is one of those things you have to live with.
You did go see some Christmas lights as well.
It was so cute. Yep. I think the downfall was like the tents on the bus, like you couldn't see, so you couldn't take pictures. But like seeing the horses on the little the carriages, but then the Santa Claus, the Santa Claus lights with the elves and everything. And then we saw kids fighting in the parking lot. Wow. We were just making jokes about that, but like just celebrating the little things and enjoying a good time with
I'm sitting
other.
Here thinking like, oh, these Christmas lights are so cute.
And
like,
the hot chocolate too. the hot chocolate was bussing.
Hot chocolate on the bus.
Mm. Love
Very
that.
Very cute.
Well, this is definitely a Christmas type of team. Your office already fully up. So
we just skipped Thanksgiving, apparently.
Hey, listen, it is what it is. I mean, the rest of the world doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving, so we're just already onto the holidays. It is what it is. Literally one of my favorite cities to go to. The kind of just walking down by the river is like one of my personal favorites because it's just the scenics are so nice just to enjoy. And just having the holidays up there, it's the added bonus. Back home now. Staten Island a couple of days ago. First off, awesome to see Kelsey Carey on the opponent's bench. We did a little bit of a package on our broadcast highlighting all of the Fairfield women's basketball alums that are currently coaching. I know you yourself, obviously as a player, turned to a coach. Nelly, maybe perhaps in your future could be coaching someday?
To be continued.
To be continued, fair enough. But just seeing, you know, Stags here, there, and everywhere. I know this is year three for you coming in, but networking, bringing people back. And you guys did a great job showing the staff around the building, kind of giving them the nice treatment. And, you know, hopefully we get to see, obviously we get to see Trish Fabry every year, but get to see some more Stags coming back on the other side of the bench, maybe.
Yeah, so it was really cool to see Kelsey come home. I've only gotten to meet her, I think, one time before that, but we've tried to make an intentional effort to bring Stags home. I feel I've been so fortunate and felt so blessed that we've had so many alumni come home and support our women, give time back to our women in the Ballers to Bosses program and mentorship opportunities. And so it was great to see Kelsey on the sidelines. They're doing a great job. She was a bucket. So obviously the more Stags that we can have continue to be around and celebrate in our program, the better. But they did a great job. We scheduled them a little bit late because we did get dropped in the scheduling realm. But ended up being a great opportunity to bring her home.
For those that are looking for an explanation, just go to Blake Dudonis' X account because, and I think it is something that it's going to be worth talked about in years to come about how we see a lot of Division II teams playing, D1 teams, D3 teams playing. But appreciate Staten Island coming out. They did show their worth in the second half, which obviously for them it's an experience, but something they could build. They're playing an Elite Eight team coming up on Friday in Damon, so that was a great opportunity for them to get going. But a couple of things to take away from that game on our side, Ray. My goodness, crashing the O boards, making things happen. I think it was 5 offensive rebounds, and every time she got touches, put it back in. 21 points coming off of double figures against Charleston Southern. Again, shows the depth that we have, but this is someone that I think we were expecting to see the big games coming, and now the big games are coming for her.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's definitely starting to settle in, not only to kind of our system and our offense, but just the pace is different, coming from the D2 to the D1 level. And so she's getting more comfortable and figuring out where she can get those touches, whether it is offensive rebound putbacks, within our motion, where she can stop and post, where she can cut. And I think she's getting a lot more comfortable with that. And she's looking to shoot the ball. I mean, she works every single day. on her three. That's something that we talked about when we recruited her, that we wanted her to feel comfortable shooting from the perimeter. And the first couple of games, she passed them up. And our staff was like, shoot those. You don't work on them for no reason. And she's shooting the ball well from three. So it's good to see her playing with confidence.
And Nelly, now the other player that we're going to highlight is someone that you just – you know, put on the bus a little bit. So now you're going to talk nice things about her. That's Julia Carpel. But this is the most confident we've seen her with the ball in her hands shooting in game action. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Carly's spoken about in the last couple episodes about the work that she's putting in behind the scenes, working on quicker releases, knowing that, you know, there's a little bit of a gap between high school. You talk about D2 to D1 high school to D1 basketball is another world. But getting the quick trigger off, and everyone is getting fired up every three that she made.
She's in right before practice or right before film, she's with Coach EJ, either shooting or watching film, trying to just make herself better. Really proud of her growth and her development as a player and person. I feel like this is just the start for her. Like, this is her confidence showing that she's capable of doing anything that she could put her mind to, and she's been putting in the work for it too. So honestly, just continuously watching her continue like to grow in practice, really kill. Her physicality has been amazing. And then also her player development by like communicating and then being more physical on the defensive end. She's really just grown in that. But I appreciate her as a teammate and a sister for continuously working on herself and continuously being a positive light for her and her teammates.
Nelly, as you someone in the leadership group, as an upper-class player in general, what are some of the things that you're noticing with younger players, whether it is just stuff that's in and around the gym or game situations that you might just want to wait to the next day to talk about, or anything that you kind of go through? What are some of the things that you've been noticing from some of the younger players on this team this year that you've been able to help them out a little bit with?
I think mainly just the effective communication, whether it's on a defensive end or offensive end. And I appreciate how they have questions to ask us on, all right, how can we do better to get in gap, or how can we have a better closeout when we need to be in the two-out closeout gaps. It's really just them asking questions, them wanting to get better with their player development and be better for the team. It's very just appreciative from us as a leadership standpoint, and then also the team, because it's like you're not trying to stay the same. You're trying to change and choose the better. So I appreciate her a lot for continuously growing and then being someone that we can count on, trust on and off the court.
One thing I would say about Jules too, and I think this is if there's any young players listening, it's really easy when you don't play or don't get what you want to blame or go inward or not show up every single day or complain or just think, hey, excuses. I can play. Yeah, make excuses. I should play over so-and-so. And Jules has been the best teammate all year long, as far as you never once feel like she's feeling bad for herself or pouting or anything like that. She shows up every single day, the same Jules, and works. And I think that is why, like, I feel really confident putting her in the game, because I know she's ready. And so I think there's so much value to understanding you just keep working and be ready when your moment comes. And that's what her and I have talked a lot about, is I knew she was going to be ready. I knew she's ready in Charleston Southern. I knew she's ready in this game. And I could put her in any game and feel confident.
And I think that helps as well, where she's coming from a basketball family. She's got many people within her family that have played at this level. So the fact that you're telling us, Nelly, that she's very open to communicating and talking and asking questions, I mean, she's doing this at home as well. So those are just little traits that we love to see. We've held this off for a reason. Now we're going to talk about it. Miss Isabella Nicoletti Leyte.
My God.
Dishing and just breaking down defenses. This goes now into our film room, where we're going to kind of break down things a little bit more here with Fairfield. And first off, if you want to go assist by assist from just Tuesday's game against Staten Island, head over to the Fairfield Women's Basketball Instagram page, because as I used to do at MLB Advanced Media, reel it up. Mm-hmm. We're going to put all of them into one. Mm-hmm. Used to be 11 assists in 11 seconds, but that's for another day. So with Isa, I mean, we've spoken a lot about her over the course of her time here at Fairfield, but what's clicked this year to see her be so careful with the basketball, but yet be as dominating and decisive as she has been? And we're talking more than just a small sample size. This is seven games now.
I think there's a couple things that go into it. One, I think she is being more selective of when she chooses to thread the needle or when she chooses to make some interior passes. I think, you know, she was kind of shoot from the hip sometimes last year, as far as, you know, so to speak, as far as trying to you know, make some home run plays. And she's done a lot less of those. And it's actually equal to, you know, her being able to throw it in the post and someone scores versus trying to throw it into a tiny window to a cutter. And so she's being more selective. I think also her being more aggressive offensively as far as looking to score has opened up more passing opportunities because people now just can't back off her or, you know, dare her to shoot. When she does shoot, now people have to close out, and then now she gets all those other passes. So I think it's a combination of those. And it's, I mean, she has 37 assists to 9 turnovers. You know, good for fifth in the country as far as assists per game. So I'm really proud of her.
Those are video game numbers. I mean, it's scary. Seeing it from another perspective, I credit so much of her playing competitive basketball right up until the start of the season. Mm-hmm. I know you guys play exhibition games, mm-hmm. scrimmage games, but there's nothing like throwing on a jersey knowing that a game matters. And when she played for Brazil, you're seeing her score and facilitate. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just unmeasurable the amount of time that you can play in a competitive game while having a long break, because everyone in college basketball, I mean, unless you're playing the national championship, you're basically going April till the end of October, early mm-hmm. November without a game that matters. So playing a couple extra games, mm-hmm. Nelly, I mean, that's huge.
Oh, she's just been phenomenal. And I think one thing that we take back from our Charlie Smith meeting is you got to show confidence to be confident, and she's just been killing it. Mm-hmm. And I've been really proud of her. And I feel like we've had talks in the past where like, hey, Ease, you got to shoot the ball, or hey, you got to do this and do that. And she already knew. Like, she knows the type of person she is. She knows the type of player she is. She just needed that extra push and that extra confidence to just go ahead and show out and have those video game numbers. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's just been phenomenal on and off the court, and it really starts with her leadership too. Mm-hmm. You can see her confidence building, and it's bringing other people up with her, and that just really brings the team up.
You talk about Charlie Smith, by the way. I shouldn't mention this is someone that speaks with a lot of our athletics teams as well. Fairfield. Carly,
he's a Stag alum.
Yeah, can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, Charlie's a Stag alum. He's been awesome for us. He does sport performance coaching, so he does a lot with the mental performance side of the game, and he's been such a great resource for both our team as a whole and for individuals to talk with him one-on-one. And so that's such a huge part of being a high-level athlete that a lot of times goes by the wayside. You spend all this time on your body and on your shooting and your skill, and the mental side of it is a skill. And so he's been a great resource for us, and we're really thankful for the time he's put in with us.
No, absolutely, and it's clearly paid off what he said with you guys back in the fall season. Mm-hmm. Back to the team facilitating side of things, it's not just easy, though, because it's a group effort that's done it. And 20 or more assists now in four of the 7 games that you guys played, 3 of the last 4. And during your time here, Carly, it's happened 18 times in 70 games. So that's better than 1 of every 4. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking like, you know, good teams will probably get about as a team maybe 15 to 18 assists per game, because it's just the way that the game will go. You're going to get fast break opportunities, you're creating for yourself. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you guys are consistently putting those numbers, I mean, that's a great testament to what you guys are doing off the court to work, but obviously making sure that you got enough ball handlers on the court. And that speaks to the rotations that you guys have put together, and it's working.
Yeah, I probably sound like a broken record on this podcast to talk about like the selfless value that we talk about in our program. But to be a part of this program, you have to be selfless. And so that's not only off the court, but it's how you play with your teammates. Our offense is designed to have assisted field goals. And yes, there's opportunities to go and attack downhill and lay it in. But if help comes, you've got shooters and scorers all around you. And so it's a two-person job. It's the ball handler recognizing when it's not time to go force a tough shot because you have a teammate open. And then it's a credit to our shot-making ability, both interior and from the three-point line. And so they've done a good job of recognizing, okay, when am I one-on-one and I can go score, and when are my teammates open? And we've put people in tough positions. And I think having players in our program who have done this a couple of years now, they've only gotten better at making those reads.
Absolutely, and it helps as well, again, with the turnover ratio. You said 15 and under is that magic number, and you guys have done that now in 5 of 7 games, and going season low 6 against Staten Island, 7 against Charleston Southern. One other assist number that I did want to get to, by the way, with Isa, for her 11 assists that she had, the most in a single game for a Fairfield player since Rachel Hakes had 12 in the semifinals of the 22 MAC tournament. Mm. And it wasn't just giving the ball to Lou every time. It was giving the ball to everybody that day. So,
Louie too.
Oh, God, love to see it. By the way, Lou killing it overseas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, love to see that. Let's talk about the games coming up. Big East, home and away. Villanova on Sunday, 2 p.m. Get your tickets now, yes. fairfieldstags.com. Villanova, WBIT finalists last year, and I think you said that we're going to their place next season as well, so that's going to be a nice little return. It's a little bit of a different looking team. Obviously, Maddie Segrist, a couple of years removed, but a number of changes from their roster. Lucy Olson no longer with the squad, but they did bring a couple of solid players in. But they also have a number of really talented youth players. Maddie Weber, who's all freshman, Big East last year. She had a heck of a battle of Atlantis tournament. And those were some big teams that they were playing down there. What are some of the things that we should be expecting from that contest when it's two good teams going at it?
It's
going
to be a great game. I'm excited for our team in this challenge, and I'm excited for our fans for a great matchup. We're similar in a lot of ways in that we're both kind of five-out motion teams. You'll see a lot of cutting, off-ball screens, flare screens, things like that. So there's some similarity. We get to it in some different ways. But they're similar to us where they have a lot of scores on the floor. They've got some length as well. But I think the thing that's going to be interesting is I think we tend to push it maybe a little bit more in transition. Not that much more where they've got, their point guard, Jasmine Basco, who you mentioned, youth, is a freshman point guard who's killing it. She does a lot of the Gus go until stop like our guards do. So we'll see that as well. But I think really the game is going to come down to discipline. We both are high scoring, high powered offensive teams, and who can be more disciplined on the defensive end for longer to make the other team work more.
Speaking of Jasmine, by the way, we have a player from Ontario as well. And Cyan, has there been any insider trading going on about how to stop her?
I do know they played together for a little while on the AAU circuit, so but I have not asked for any inside information.
Will you be?
No.
Fair enough.
Keeping it clean.
There you go. They're going to be playing actually a game on Friday, which is going to be a quick turnaround. Big Five Classic final against Temple at home. That's for those that are unfamiliar with the Philadelphia basketball scene. First off, as a basketball fan, you have to get down to Penn. You have to go see a game down there, beautiful facility. But then, yeah, those are going to be hotly tested games. They do not like each other down there. And then you guys have a week off. Finals in between then?
Yes.
Okay. So going to be hitting the books a little bit. And then Nelly, big game at St. John's following week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Kind of a little bit of a homecoming-ish type game for you.
Yeah, a little bit.
Family and friends. Family, yeah, there you go. How many tickets?
I got to ask some teammates, but I'm looking at like six maybe.
Okay. I was thinking a little bit more maybe perhaps, but St. John's, you guys played each other last year, so a return of a home and home. They did lose their first game of the season. I had to check myself because I thought that they beat Harvard by two. They lost them by two, but bounced back and absolutely walloped Penn State, and they're going to play Wake Forest actually on Sunday. So how much do you guys in early season, Carl, I'll ask both of you guys a similar question, but how much do you guys look at these early season matchups where you're playing similar opponents to kind of break things down, or is it still just focus on ourselves?
It's definitely focus on ourselves, and I typically take it one opponent at a time.
Sure.
I don't look too far past Villanova. My staff has to from the scouting report. Whoever has that scout has to look ahead, which I think is Coach Eric on this one, that has the St. John scout. But it's really one game at a time, and finding ways for us to continue to get a little bit better every day. Not to sound too cliche, and St. John's, we do pay attention to other teams playing and scores and things like that, and we'll turn them on if they're on ESPN Plus or whatever while I'm doing other things. But it'll be a great matchup as well. Two Big East opponents will be a great challenge for us going into conference play.
And Nelly, for you, when you're playing players, obviously, so Wake Forest, for example, you remember some traits that you have when you're defending players or going up against them. What are things that you look for when you're looking at the film and seeing, okay, so she did this, she being a St. John's player, for example, did this against a Wake Forest player. What little things do you look for when you're in scout?
I really just look at the defensive end of the aspects. Like, how can we, as a team, score? How can we get to our best options on offense? What do they do that's different from other teams? And then, like, how can we adjust in that way to put our players in the best position? I really just watch, like, their offensive tendencies, especially knowing that I am a hound and I try to pressure the point guards. I want to see, okay, how comfortable is she, dribbling with her right hand. So I usually like count the number of bounces, or I see like if she's going to cross over, like what are her counters that she usually does. But again, like Coach Carly said, just taking it one game at a time. And then also just trying to stay as humble as we can, knowing that yes, they are a good team, but we have the confidence and we need to have the consistency and discipline to try to come out with this win.
And obviously, they're going to be looking for a little response after last season where Fairfield defended their home court, so St. John's looking to defend their home court. So again, Villanova coming up on Sunday, December the 8th, 2 p.m. Make sure to get down here to Mahoney Arena. We want to see the place full because
in red
yes because they'll obviously actually what jersey would they be wearing? Would they go with white for that game?
I don't know what they're gonna do.
Interesting. last episode I proved or showed out that I'm a little bit of like a uniform type nerd or a hat nerd, so that's a bit of me, but interesting to see. Two other housekeeping bits. First off, the first net rankings came out this past week. Fairfield checking in at 42. Quinnipiac also, shout out to them, to the start that they've had at 52. I know, again, we only pay so much attention to these things right now, but it has to be nice knowing that you see Fairfield on page one of the board and not sliding down to two or three.
Yes, shout out to Coach Blake for the schedule. That's something that we knew after last year we needed to continue to climb up that net ranking. I think we ended in the 80s last year, and the kind of that 12 seed that we're targeting is in like the 60s of a net ranking. So need to obviously continue to do what we do and just take care of our business and what we can do. But, you know, Blake's scheduling the way that he did was on intentional so that we have some high net teams that we played against. And so while you don't put too much weight into it now, like you said, shout out to Quinnipiac, having two teams in the top 100 is, you know, a great step forward for our league, and they're doing great things as well. So we're excited about that competition.
Absolutely, and one thing that we have to talk about here is at the end of the broadcast on Tuesday, Carly, and we're talking about your brother, who looking forward to seeing him out in Minnesota coming up. You spoke about how you're Lindsey Whalen's favorite now out of the Tebows. What makes you the favorite?
Because why wouldn't I be?
I'm gonna need something more than that.
Lindsey and I spent 4 years together. Like, she's like my sister. Okay. I loved working with her. We had so many good times, and you know, we just laughed together every single day. Now Eric could probably say the same thing, but they haven't spent 4 years together every single day going through the grind. So maybe in 4 years, ask me again.
Okay, that's fair. And also, just to put it on record, if anybody wants a rebuttal, that would be your brother or father or Lindsey herself. Just get in touch with us. We'll figure that
Lindsey
out.
Lindsey was my dad's favorite daughter, so it's fine. I had to, you know.
Do we need to talk about this?
No, it's okay. she scored more buckets for him than I did, so.
Love that. Nelly, we've introduced one new element to the podcast. Did not prepare you for this one, so you're going to. Yeah, it's okay. No, it's fine. It's fine. Running with the Stags is going to be a little bit of a, you know, rapid fire type thing. But there was something I am calling an audible here, because noticed where you were very descriptive about, you know, the type of scenery that you saw down in Charleston, very holiday-esque. Mm-hmm. So, scenario. It's now, you know, let's call it a week from now. You have a recruit coming in. You're kind of showing them around Fairfield, the sites, all the beautiful things that we have to offer. I need it holiday themed. Where are we taking a recruit holiday themed in Fairfield? And also, just to give you a little bit of time to think about that, this is not an ad. We're not advertising any places. But, hey, if you want to get involved, you can get involved with us. But, yeah.
Just
so,
one place?
Oh, it could be a number of different places.
I'd honestly say just take a ride downtown Fairfield.
Okay.
Like, just seeing the lights, maybe 16 Handles. I actually like their Christmas decorations. Sunny Days needs to do a better job with the Christmas decorations.
Just throw shots.
I'm just saying, you know, 16 Handles, the decorations is on point.
There is time to improve. There's still a few weeks left until holidays.
And I'd say maybe the tree on campus.
Okay.
I think that's like the prettiest kind of attraction of Christmas decorations that we have, but mostly downtown Fairfield. It's just like a beautiful sight. Like, it gives Gilmore Girls kind of like Stars Hollows a little bit.
That's a great shout. I'll give you that. One upping though on the tree, the one at the town hall on Old Post Road.
They do a nice job with that.
Carly,
the one in the Tebow Dudonis household's pretty good too.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it. And Waldo's hiding in the tree. So.
Waldo's in the tree.
Also, town of Fairfield.
Yeah, that's true.
But the ones in your office look great as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Again, I was just like, ooh, you sparked something in me, so I wanted to kind of dive into that. Guys, I had fun. This is nice to be back in person. Carly, thanks for going on Zoom for a couple shows, but good to be back. And looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah, thanks for having us. If you're in town this weekend, the place to be will be Mahoney Arena Sunday at 2 p.m.
Nelly, as always, a pleasure. And congrats again on 1K points. And
thank you, looking forward
to seeing how the rest of the year goes for the mayor.
Very excited. Not the mayor, but I'm very excited to see where our conference and our season takes us.
Absolutely.
Run with us or run from
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm, love that. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fast Break with Coach Carly podcast presented by Connecticut Basement Systems. And again, make sure to follow us on all of our social media platforms as we go closer and closer to league play. I think our next episode will be right before the Mount game as we'll preview our conference opener. But that's going to do it for us. Thanks for spending your time here with us. Hope to see you on Sunday. The Stags take on Villanova. Until then.
The Fast Break podcast is a presentation of Fairfield University Athletics. For future podcasts, videos, news, stats, and coverage of Fairfield Stags women's basketball, log on to fairfieldstags.com.